I'm going to be reading from the book of Romans. If you have a Bible, I'd like for you to turn to Romans, the 6th chapter. Now, you'll be especially interested in my message today. The title of the message is Free from Sin. Free from Sin. And I'm going to be reading from the 6th chapter of Romans, first of all, verse 7, in which Paul writes, "For he that is dead," he's talking about being dead with Christ, crucified with Christ, buried, risen with Christ, "he that is dead is free, free from sin, free from sin." Sin has no dominion over him, has no control, no demand, no claims, because he's dead. It's like when a man goes to the electric chair for murder, and the switch is thrown and he dies. He's free from sin. He's free from crime. The law has no more claim. The law has nothing else they can do to him. He's free from sin. Romans 6:18 says this, "Being then made free from sin, delivered from sin, you became the servants of righteousness." Being made free from sin, being given this blessing and this glorious standing of freedom from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Now watch verse 22. "But now, being made free from sin and becoming the servants of God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end, life everlasting." Being made free from sin and becoming the servants, bond slaves of Jesus Christ, you have fruit now. And that fruit is unto holiness, and the end, the results of it all, is eternal life. Now, are you interested in this message? I believe some of you are. But you'll have to listen, and listen carefully, because I'm going to deal plainly, very bluntly, and I believe scripturally, with you on this subject, free from sin. Now, our great concern before God is our sins. Now, that's right. That's true of anybody listening. That's true of myself and everybody listening to me. David said that. He said, "My sins are ever before me. My sins are ever before me." And one of the prophets said, "Your sins, this is your whole trouble, your sins have separated you and your God." That's what's between you and God, your sins. That's the whole trouble. It wouldn't be any trouble if it wasn't for sin. Wouldn't be any trouble. No death, sorrow, punishment. Sin, that's the whole trouble. It's between you and your God. And the wages of sin is death. That's the wages. That's the results of sin. And sin, when it's finished, when it's run its course and brought its results, it bringeth forth death. For all have sinned. There's nobody that hasn't sinned. There's no one who's not plagued with this problem. Everybody has it. Even the little children out there listening to me are sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, here's my question. What would it mean to you to have the hope that you were free from sin? That all of your sins, I mean past, present, and future, that all of your sins were pardoned, forgiven, put away forever and forever, never to be remembered or mentioned again. When David and Paul wrote about that, both of them wrote the same thing. Paul said it in Psalm, David said it in Romans 4. "Blessed, twice happy, is the man whose iniquities are forgiven." He's a happy man. The man whose iniquities are all forgiven. "The man whose sins are covered." Blessed, twice happy, is the man to whom God will not charge sin. Now you think about that. You talk about happiness. You talk about bliss, total joy. Our sins all forgiven. The man to whom God will not charge or impute one sin. He talked about that in Hebrews 10:17. God said, "Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." No more. God can't forget anything, you say. No, but the blood of Christ is so effectual and so sufficient and strong that even the holy eyes of God cannot see sin that's been eradicated and removed and blotted out by the blood of Christ. Now that's so. That's the effectual work of the blood of Christ. 1 John 1:7 says, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Not two or three or past sins, all sin. And the hymn writer wrote that blessed hymn, my sins, oh the bliss of that glorious thought. My sins, not in part, but the whole, are nailed to the cross, and I bear them no more. Praise the Lord, it's well with my soul. Now the text from Romans 6, three times, declares that the believer who is dead, and I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. When he died, we died. When he arose, we arose. When he ascended, we ascended. And when he was seated at the right hand of God, we were seated in him. And Paul is saying that every believer who has died under the judgment of sin is dead with Christ, and he's free from sin. Just like Christ is free from the sins he bore, which were imputed sins, not his own. But he actually was made sin for us. He bore our sins in his body on the tree, did he not? Well, he arose without sin. Where are they? They're put away, cast into the depths of the sea to be remembered no more. So he's free from sin, and in him I'm free from sin. That's what he's saying. And we're free from sin. We're no longer in bondage to sin, no longer under the guilt of sin. But we're now the servants of the Lord. We're now the servants of righteousness. He that is freed from sin, from the service of sin, from the bondage of sin, has become the servant of God and the servant of righteousness, and his fruit, the fruit of his life, is holiness unto the Lord. And the results of all of it is a sure hope in Christ of life eternal. Now let me speak to you as plainly as I can on the subject free from sin. I'm not going to speak in riddles. I'm not going to speak in religious jargon. I'm going to speak plainly and truthfully. Even if you don't believe what I'm saying, at least you'll understand what I'm saying. Now, four things I'm going to deal with in this message. First is this. What does it not mean, this free from sin? Free from sin. What it does not mean. A lot of folks are missing the boat on this right here. What it does not mean. And then I'm going to talk about what free from sin does mean. And then, the Lord willing, I'm going to talk about how this blessing comes to us. Being free from sin. How can I have it? You. And then fourthly, the results of that blessed hope. Now, first of all, free from sin. I read it to you three times. He that's dead is free from sin. He that's free from sin is no longer the servant of sin, but the servant of righteousness. And he that's free from sin is not only the servant of God and of righteousness, but he has his fruit unto righteousness, and the end thereof, life eternal. Now, free from sin, through the righteousness of Christ and the sacrifice of the Son of God, what this does not mean. All right, first of all, to be free from sin does not mean that I am free from the presence of sin. Sin does remain. It doesn't reign. It doesn't control, but it does remain. Everybody listening to me, believer or unbeliever, is a sinner. Now, the Bible says in 1 John 1:8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth's not in us. And verse 10 says, if we say we have not sinned, we make God a liar. When our Lord taught his disciples to pray, they said, teach us to pray. One of the statements in that prayer is this, forgive us our sins. Forgive us our sin. Our Lord taught his disciples to pray every day for the forgiveness of sin. How very real to every honest believer listening to my voice are the motions of sin. I'm not talking about getting drunk and rolling in the gutter. I'm not talking about murder and theft and rape and adultery and these things. I'm talking about the sins of the mind and of the heart and of the imagination. The sin of pride and lust and covetousness and envy and jealousy and prejudice and pride. These things are sin. The thought of foolishness is sin. We're not perfect. Not in ourselves. We're perfect in Christ. He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. By one offering he hath perfected us forever. But we're not perfect. And any man who claims to be perfect is a liar, and the truth's not in him. And he's even made God a liar. You never live a day without sinning. So to be free from sin doesn't mean that we're free from the presence of sin. That's foolishness to even talk about. And then secondly, free from sin does not mean that we're free from an awareness of sin. We're aware of things about us. Those things that appeal to the flesh still appeal to the flesh. Not to the spirit, not to the heart, but to the flesh. There's a constant warfare in every believer between the flesh and the spirit. That's what Paul said. The flesh lusteth against the spirit against the flesh, so that you can't do the things you would. Read the 7th chapter of Romans. The Apostle Paul talks about, I would be perfect. I love the law of God. I would be perfect, but I find another law warring within me, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin and death. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of sin? The Apostle Paul said, Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I'm less than the least of all the saints. If Paul were without sin, he'd be better than all the saints, because he'd be the only one without sin. He's not worthy, he said, to be an apostle. So we're not delivered from the awareness of sin, consciousness of sin, the conflicts of sin, the warfare between the flesh and the spirit. Be honest. Be honest with yourself and be honest with God. And he said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. But he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. The man that denies his sin and covers him, God's not going to prosper him. I'm not talking about prosperity now like all these con men on television are talking about. I'm talking about spiritual prosperity. I'd rather have patches on my britches and know God than drive a limousine and be in the gall of religious bitterness. It's time somebody spoke against the racketeering in the name of religion, in the name of God that's going on in our day. Freedom from sin. What does it not mean? Well, it doesn't mean we're free from the effects of sin. You're not free from the effects of sin. Sin is the cause of all unhappiness. Are you ever unhappy? Sin is the cause of all sickness. Sin is the cause of all sorrow, depression, and death. Sure it is. By one man, sin entered this world, and death by sin. There was none of these things contrary to happiness on this earth till sin came. Are you free from depression? Are you free from loneliness? Are you never lonely? Are you never sorrowful? Are you never depressed? Are you free from pain? Never have a headache? Are you free from sickness? Are you never sick? Never have a cold? Are you free from sadness? Are you never sad, blue, huh? Are you free from fear? Are you free from all tears? Do you never cry? Are you free from old age? Are you free from death? It's appointed unto men once to die. And I tell you this, if you had no sin, you wouldn't die. Sin bringeth forth death. The effects of sin are going to stay with you till you do leave this earth. Now, so when I say we're free from sin in Christ, I'm not saying we're free from the presence of sin. I'm not saying we're free from the awareness of sin and the conflict of sin. I'm not saying that we're free from the effects of sin. I can get sick just like anybody else, and will someday, according to God's good providence. And all these fellas talking about God wants you to be well and prosperous and be a millionaire and all this sort of thing. They want to be millionaires is what they want. No matter about you, just send us a cut on what you get. Well, what does it mean? Let me ask you this. What does it mean to be free from sin? What are we talking about, free from sin? He that's dead is free from sin. Well, let me tell you, number one, it's to be free from the condemnation of sin. That's what it means to be free from sin. It means to be free from its condemnation. Listen to Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ. No judgment. No wrath. No charge. Christ hath freed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. You know why there's no condemnation against the believer? Christ took his condemnation. Payment God's justice cannot twice demand. First at my bleeding surety's hand, then again at mine. Nobody pays a debt twice. If it's paid, it's stamped paid in full. And a man is not fined by the judge twice for the same crime. He's fined once, pays his fine, it's over. Romans 8:33 says, who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? God has justified them. Justified means to be without sin, not guilty. Who is he that condemneth? Christ has died. Yea, rather, is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. He that believeth shall not come into condemnation. Now, these preachers can talk all they want to about the believer being judged. But we've already been judged, and the debt's already been paid, and full satisfaction has been rendered, and there's no charge against the believer. There's no condemnation against the believer. There's no judgment to the believer. We may be witnesses of the judgment. We may be bystanders at the judgment. But I tell you, Christ hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, and we have already been accepted and are already seated at the right hand of God, and there is no judgment. That's like bringing Christ into judgment again. We're one with Him, I in them and thou in me, that they all may be one, even as we are, my Father. You think God's going to bring Christ back into the judgment? Well, if He brings His people back, He'll have to bring Him because they're one. You can't disassociate that which God has associated. You can't disunite that which God Almighty has united forever. To be free from sin is to be free from condemnation. Secondly, is to be free from guilt. Not guilty. The jury comes marching out of the jury room and the judge says, have you reached a verdict? And the jury says, not guilty. All right, what are you going to do? Well, you've got to let him go. A man's not guilty is not guilty. He's not chargeable, not punishable. Therefore, Romans 5:1, being justified by faith. And justified means not guilty. Pardon doesn't mean not guilty. Parole doesn't mean not given, guilty. Forgiven doesn't mean not guilty. It means guilty but pardoned, guilty but paroled, guilty but forgiven. But justified, that means no guilt. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have received the atonement. And we're justified. The law is honored and justice is satisfied. No charge. What does it mean to be free from sin? It means to be free from sin's penalty. Free from sin's punishment. We shall never die. Christ said, he that believeth on me shall never die. You say, but everybody's going to die. He's saying that they may sleep, their body placed in the ground, but we'll never die. We've already died. You can't die twice. We've already died. We may sleep, but we're not going to die. If this earthly house of our tabernacle be dissolved, we have already a building of God not made with hands, eternal in the heaven. We'll never be judged. That's what I told you. We'll never hear God say, depart from me, I never knew you. We'll never be ashamed. He that believeth shall never be ashamed. That's what it means to be free from sin. Free from condemnation. Free from guilt. Free from punishment. Free from the penalty. And then fourthly, to be free from sin is to be free from its reigning power. Its reigning power. Now listen to me. There was a time before we heard the gospel and before we met Christ when sin not only remained in us, but it really controlled us, and it reigned over us, and it ruled over us. We delighted in darkness. We delighted in rebellion. We wearied of the light and didn't want anything to do with it. We delighted in sin. Sin controlled us and ruled us and reigned over us and dictated our course, and we had very little conscience about it. We cared nothing about God and about truth and holiness and righteousness and honesty and integrity. But now, being new creatures in Christ, we love God. We love His law. We love His word. We love His commandments. We love to do His will. And though we have a constant warfare and a battle and an awareness of sin, yet we do not love sin. We love righteousness. We long to be like Christ. Sin shall not reign over you to obey the lust thereof. What does reign? Christ reigns. And Christ's reign is not a reign of rules and laws. Christ's reign is a reign of love. He loves us and we love Him. And grace reigns in righteousness. And we've been delivered from the reigning power of sin. That which we once loved, now we really hate. And that which we once hated and wearied of and found no joy in it at all, we now love and treasure and cherish. And that's the presence of our Lord. And that's the blessings of our Lord. And that's the presence and fellowship of His people. To be free from sin is to be free from its reigning power. To be controlled by another. It's like when you pass a building on the street and you see a sign on the door, under new management. That means the store has a new owner and a new manager. And I tell you, when a man is redeemed by the grace of God, he has a new owner and he has a new manager. And he has one, the Holy Spirit, who has taken up his abode in that place, and he reigns. All right, last of all, how does this blessed hope to be free from sin come to us? How does it come to us? Well, first of all, it comes to us by the grace of God. It's a gift. This freedom from sin, this blessings of eternal life, is not something we buy, something we earn, something we work for. It's the gift of God. Now, the wages of sin is something we work for. But the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Where sin abounded, overflowed, the grace of God did much more overflow. It was His grace that gave me to Christ in an everlasting covenant. It was His grace that chose me in Christ in His sovereign election. It was His grace that gave His Son to redeem me by His blood on the cross of Calvary. It was His grace that awakened me on my Damascus road to hell and arrested me and stopped me and revealed Christ to my heart. It was His grace that brought me safe thus far and sustained me and kept me. And it's His grace that will keep me until I lie down to die in faith. And it's His grace that will raise me from the tomb, and His grace that will give me a new dwelling place in glory, and His grace that will conform me perfectly to the likeness of His dear Son. So how does this blessing, freedom from sin, come to us? By the grace of God. And then secondly, it comes to us by the life and death of Christ. Now, people may accuse me of playing a one-string fiddle. Well, that's all right if you've got the right string. Having one message, that's all right if you got the right message. And Paul had one message. He said, I preach Christ and Him crucified. I determined to know nothing among you save Christ and Him crucified. Well, that's my message, and I'm saying this, that I'm free from sin by the work and by the labor of another. It's not I that did it, it's Christ that did it. He came to this earth in the flesh, born of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were made under the law, born under the law. He came to this earth, and by one man's disobedience, I was made a sinner. By another man's obedience, I was made righteous. He went to Calvary's cross. You say, well, how can one man pay such an enormous debt of sin, of all the sins of all believers, of all generations, of all nations, kindred, tribes, and tongues under heaven? Because of who he is. Because of who he is. It's not how much blood Christ shed, it's whose blood was shed. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died. And he died, and he was wounded for our transgressions, and by his stripes we're healed. And then he arose from the grave. And his resurrection says that God the Father accepted all that the Son paid. If God the Father, law, justice, and righteousness, were not satisfied, Christ wouldn't have risen. But when he brought him from the tomb, he arose without sin. And he received him. He said, come on up here and sit down on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. And he intercedes for us. And he's coming back. And he said, if I go away, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And then thirdly, we're justified, and this blessing of freedom from sin comes to us by faith. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus to be Lord, and believe in thine heart God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Where, preacher? Before God. And I'll tell you, if it's before God, it'll also be before men. You can't keep it down. You can't put a lid on it. What God does, he does openly and permanently and eternally and powerfully. And men will know about it. Now, the title of this message is Free from Sin. And the title of the message I brought last week was Faith and Unbelief. If you want these two messages on a cassette tape, send a $2 donation and we'll put it in the mail the same day we receive your request. Write to me. Until next week at the same time, may the Lord bless you, everyone.